So please turn with me, if you have a Bible, to Luke 23, and we're going to read at verse 50. And then we'll read the first 12 verses in Luke 24. These are familiar to us, but let's take time to read them and to see what they say to us. Luke 23, verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and another woman that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 12. We know God will add his blessing to this public reading of his word. The last time we had been looking together at Luke's gospel, we were looking at some verses in Luke 23 where we were standing, as it were, around the cross. But instead of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ solely, we were looking at those two men, two thieves, who found themselves in a desperate plight. There were three crosses that day on Golgotha's hillside. The Lord Jesus Christ on the center cross, and two thieves, one on either side of him. And we noted the condition of these two men, because no matter how you approach the account that Luke gives to us, these two men were doomed and they were damned. There were two thieves who had been caught breaking the law. They were paying the price for their terrible deeds. And as we looked at those two forlorn figures on the cross, they were in a helpless and hopeless state. They were staring death in the face, and they were standing on the verge of eternity. My, that's how we sober up sometimes, isn't it, and think about our souls. When life runs its course and death comes and we're about to go out into eternity, perhaps that's the first and only time we think about where we might be. Well, we noted this man, the cry of a dying sinner, because while one of the thieves died in a rebellious state, the other thief turned around to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This was an urgent cry because this man was slipping into eternity. It was a personal cry. However the other thief died, this man wanted to be sure about his soul. This was an answered cry, for Jesus said to him, "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." And there at the cross, we saw the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. His concern wasn't for himself, it was for others. After all, he had come to take the sinner's place, and he had come to give himself in order that sinners like you and me might receive. But tonight we come back to these verses that we have read together. We're going to bring our studies in Luke's Gospel to a close after a long time now, I'm sure, for some of you. But we're going to look at these verses tonight as we bring it to a close, because a new day has dawned. A new day has dawned. The Lord Jesus Christ has died. And we have read together in recent weeks about his death upon that cross at Calvary. What must have been for his disciples and for him a most traumatic and horrible event. After all, Jesus Christ had come to do the Father's will, and he fulfilled that. He was obedient to it in every aspect of it. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost, and now through his death on the cross, sinners like you and me have got hope, not just in time, that we might have a purpose-filled life, but hope for eternity, so that we might be sure of a place in God's heaven. And of course, he had suffered and bled and died. Then he was taken down from the cross. And then we know that he was led into the tomb of the man called Joseph of Arimathea. And I'm sure there were many questions being asked on that occasion. Questions that demanded an answer in the minds of the people, some of whom had seen the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross, others who had heard about the demise of this man, Jesus of Nazareth, and now he's gone, and his teaching is finished, and he's no longer with them, and that must have given rise to so many questions regarding the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I know that some people thought that his death was a great mistake. Some, even those who walked with him, who hadn't understood what he had taught them, thought initially that his death on the cross had been a real tragedy. And you can almost imagine those who were running around at that particular time, saying to themselves, "Is this now the end of the matter? Is this now the end of this man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man, yes, so radical in his teaching, a man who was miraculous in the things that he did, and he's been nailed to a cross, and he's been taken from the cross, and he's been buried in a tomb. Is this now the end for Jesus of Nazareth?" Well, the answer to that question is no, definitely not. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross bowed his head and he said, "It is finished." But when he said, "It is finished," what he was saying was that the work that the Father had given him to do on the cross for sinners like us, it had been accomplished. Redemption had been completed. Salvation for every man and woman is now available. The work is finished. God is satisfied. But it's not the end of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a great hymn that we'll sing at the end of our meeting tonight, Robert Lowry says this. He says, "Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. For up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph for his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign." What a wonderful truth that is. If you feel before the meeting's over that you want to shout hallelujah, feel free. Because you see, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, it was not a tragedy, it was a triumph. And you're going to see that as you come to these verses with me. And I'm going to mention two very simple things. The first is here. Here's a wonderful truth. A wonderful truth. When the body of Jesus Christ had been buried in the tomb, we've read that a number of women, they came together, they got their spices in order, they waited until the Sabbath was over, and then they were going to the tomb in order that they might anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they were filled with sorrow. Their hearts were grieving as they made their way to the tomb. In fact, it was something on their mind that they didn't know how they were ever going to cope with, because as they spoke together, they asked the question, who's going to roll away the stone for us? But they made their way on, spices in hand, greatly disturbed by what had taken place at Calvary. They're going to pay their respects and anoint the body of Jesus. And what a shock is in store for them. Because the stone at the mouth of the tomb has already been rolled away. And when they enter into the tomb to look for the body of Jesus Christ, it's gone. It's not there. What on earth has happened? Well, whatever the surprise they experienced, there's one thing absolutely certain. The tomb was empty. And Jesus Christ wasn't there. The body of Jesus Christ had gone. And as these two women stood there at that tomb and they lingered and they pondered all the things that they had heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus, as they tried to understand what was happening in this situation, two men came. And they stood beside them. Now these were not ordinary men, because we're told that they were two angels. Here were two messengers of God sent from the realms of beauty and splendor with one of the greatest messages mankind has ever heard. In fact, that's not a strange occurrence, is it? Because if you take your mind back to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll remember that on that night as the shepherds sat there on the mountainside, just keeping watch over their sheep, doing things as they always did, suddenly a great host from heaven appear, and the angel says unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What a message. Such a message that God sent it. And he asked the angels to deliver it. It was a message that concerned the birth of Christ. The Savior of the world has come. And now two heavenly messengers come again. And they're sent from God with good news again. And this good news is not about the Savior's birth. This good news is about the Savior's resurrection from the dead. And what a question this is to these two women. If ever their faith was going to be challenged, if their faith was going to be stretched, what a question this is. For they turn around and they say, why seek you the living among the dead? And grasp this. He is not here, but is risen. He is not here, but is risen. You know, the angels went on to clarify what they meant by reminding him of what Christ himself had said. For remember, Christ said that he would suffer at the hands of his enemies. He would be taken and buried, and then he would rise again. And then, and only then, they remembered his words. And they were thrilled. For Jesus Christ had done exactly what he said he would do. He came to suffer, and on the cross he suffered. And he would be buried, and he was buried. And on the third day he would rise again, and he has risen again. And the tomb is empty, and Jesus is alive, and the world tonight is hope. Hope in a loving, living Savior. What a message. I wonder sometimes how these women felt when they heard all of this. To go home and then to tell others the good news and people not to believe them. If I could say one thing tonight that you would take home with you from this meeting, it's this. Jesus Christ is alive and alive forevermore. He's alive. Now I know sometimes when people look at us, they'd almost doubt that. But it's absolutely true. Jesus Christ is alive. He went to the cross. He died for the sin of this old world. He died for sinners like you and me. Friends, that's not the end of the story. And death was not the end of his life. Because on the third day, he rose again from the dead. His work was finished. He'd done everything the Father had asked him to do. And God placed a seal upon his finished work. And Jesus Christ tonight, as far as salvation is concerned, has done everything necessary for any one of us to get saved. For he has defeated sin, and he has defeated Satan, and he has conquered death and hell and the grave. And you know something? He is able tonight to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him. Let me ask you something. Where's your hope for eternity? What are you depending on when it comes to that time in your life, your existence, because that's what it is. It's just an existence down here. When that life of yours and mine, it ebbs its way to the verge of eternity and we're about to step out into eternity, what is it that you're depending on? A church? Christian parents? Godly Sunday school teachers? A Christian friend? I'm telling you tonight, you need to be trusting in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Do you know what the good news of the gospel is? That because he lives, you and I can live also. And I'm not talking about living here and now. I'm talking about living. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about heaven with all its bliss and beauty. I'm talking about heaven with all its glory. For the whole of eternity, because he lives, you and I can live also. Because of his death and his glorious resurrection from the dead, you and I have got hope beyond the grave. The work is finished, and God is satisfied, and you and I can know our sins forgiven. You might say to me, Pastor, but I understand where you're coming from with the empty tomb, and I understand all of that, but how can I be sure? How can I be possibly sure that Christ is the answer to my every need? How can I be sure that as far as eternity is concerned, that Jesus Christ can take me safely home to heaven? How do I know that my sins can be forgiven? Listen to this. For this is what the Apostle Paul said to the Christians at Rome, and it's vitally important. He said, Christ was delivered for our offenses. And he was raised again for our justification. There it is. There's the answer. He was delivered for our offenses. In other words, at the cross at Calvary, Jesus Christ took our place. Bore the penalty for our sin. Paid our debt in full. Took the very punishment due to us for our sin. Jesus Christ did that. For you. He did it for me. He was delivered for our offenses, but that's only the part of it. He says he was raised again for our justification. In other words, to show that God was satisfied with this once for all sacrifice for sin, God raised him from the dead, and on the merits of his finished work, God can forgive us. He can cleanse us from our sin. He can accept us on the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior. You know something? It'd be great tonight if you and I could think about some of the words we've been singing and look at that empty tomb by faith and grasp the importance of it and the relevance of his death and resurrection and be able to say, I need no other argument and I seek no other plea. For it is enough, listen, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. You can say to me tonight, well, tell me, Pastor, what are you depending on for eternity? How are you going to slip through death and out into this great eternity? What are you depending on? Well, friend, I can make this as simple as possible. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it. I'm not going to heaven because I came to this church or because I happened to be a Baptist preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I had a Christian background or any of those things. It will be simply on the basis of what Christ has done for me at the cross. That's it. Simple? Yes. But that's it. The wonderful truth. He is not here. He has risen. Here's the second thing, a witnessing people. Many people will say today as they did then, but how can we be sure that Jesus Christ is alive? Could his body not have been stolen? Could he not have faked death and crept out of the tomb? Could there not have been a conspiracy between Pilate who handed him over and Jesus Christ in the judgment hall so that the people would have been appeased and therefore Christ could have sneaked away quietly from the scene into oblivion? There's nothing new in that. There are many people who have believed that for centuries. Denying the truth of Scripture and what it actually says. And Luke reminds us here, as other parts of Scripture do, about certain events that happened after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And I'm going to mention two of them quickly for the sake of time. You have the verses to follow that I didn't read tonight, the experience of two people on the Emmaus Road. What a lovely story that is. For even while the disciples themselves doubted, words of comfort were brought to these two on the Emmaus Road. One of them called Cleopas, the other not named. And you look at them and you consider their story, and what a story it is. They're absolutely shocked. They've been to Jerusalem, they've witnessed the crucifixion. For them this was a whole tragedy. All that heard the stories concerning the missing body, and they're deeply disturbed. They're sad. They're sad because they had put their hope in Christ and he had let them down. They're sad because they had believed in him as the hope of Israel and he hadn't carried it through. And then they're surprised because Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now I know they didn't know him at the start. And he began to speak to them about those things that had to happen. And they didn't recognize him until he's in their home. And there they are breaking bread together and their souls are strangely warmed within them. You see, the proof is, if ever proof was needed, Jesus was alive. They saw him, they believed him, and they went out to witness for him. For these two returned to Jerusalem with great news to share with others. Tell me tonight, Christian friends, those of us who have come to Christ and know him as our Savior, those of us who believe implicitly in the empty tomb and the risen, exalted, reigning and soon returning Christ, tell me tonight, have we shared anything of this good news with others recently? Have we taken time to tell others of the living Christ and his power and willingness to save? Are we going to hold it to ourselves? Having come to know Christ, having been set free from our sin, having been assured of a place in heaven, knowing tonight that Christ is the answer to our every need, are we going to keep quiet and tell nobody about it? When was the last time that my heart or yours was strangely warmed within me at every thought of Jesus Christ? Is your heart burned this morning around the Lord's table? As with John the Baptist, you beheld the Lamb of God who took away your sin in the giving of his own body on that tree at Calvary. Was your heart warm within you? You see, the world in which you and I live tonight's a difficult world. Times are harsh and discouraging. Many people genuinely feel, some of them are your friends and mine, some of them are your family and mine, and they genuinely feel that life is not worth the living. And many of them are sitting tonight and they're wondering and they're worried because it seems for them there is no hope of change. And yet you and I have the answer to give them. And you and I have the gospel to share with them. And you and I have a Christ to present to them. And you and I have a story to tell them. But have we done it recently? And we can fill the longing in the hungry soul. And we can heal the hurt and the brokenhearted. And we can bring peace to the soul where there's great pain. Have we told anybody recently of Jesus who is mighty and well able to save? Oh, we see the two on the way to Emmaus. We see the experience of the disciples. Just in case the women were hallucinating and the two in the Emmaus road were mistaken, Jesus Christ came to his own disciples. He appeared to them in a home somewhere in Jerusalem behind closed doors. Those doors were locked and they were afraid. The risen Lord Jesus appeared in their midst and he said to them, "Peace be unto you." Well, they thought they'd seen a ghost. And they wondered what was happening. And sitting behind locked doors, they must have looked at each other and wondered what was going on until Jesus showed them his hands and his feet, his wounded side. Do you know what happened? Of course you do. You go into the Acts of the Apostles and you see a group of fearful men hiding for their lives, and they're out in the street and they're speaking of Christ and they're sharing the gospel, even if it means losing their own lives for it. And if that were not enough, listen to these words, 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, seen of 500 brethren all at once, seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, Paul says, he was seen of me. What I'm trying to say tonight is simply this. Jesus Christ is very much alive. He's not on that cross we've been singing about, that wondrous cross where Christ died. He's not on the cross tonight. And he's not in the tomb. See what a morning, gloriously bright. He's not in the tomb. He's risen. And he's alive. And he's able to save. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Oh, come and trust him as your Savior and know his power in your life. Know his peace and know his presence every day. Know his purpose for your living. And above all things, know that blessed assurance of sins forgiven and a home in heaven. You could know that tonight, man or woman, young person, if you've come without a Savior. And those of us who are saved tonight, what a challenge to go out. And not just to live with this great news that Christ is alive, and alive forevermore, but to go in the power of that, to share it with others. The cults tonight are running from door to door in almost every village and every town and every city in this land. Talking about men who lived and are buried, and if they want to talk about their faith and their leader, they'll parade you to the place where they're buried. Thank God the Christian doesn't need to do that. Because Christ is alive, and he's alive forever. And if that doesn't challenge you, and if that doesn't warm our hearts as Christians, well, we miss the very point of why he came and all that he has accomplished. Through his death, yes, thank God for Calvary. But also through his resurrection. Thank God tonight for an empty tomb. A risen Savior. One who's soon coming. And one who's going to take us home to be with himself. So we finish Luke tonight. Who is this man, Jesus Christ? Well, his claims upon your life and mine are real and they're urgent. Trust him and you'll be saved. Reject him and you'll be lost. Nothing could be more real or urgent